The Linda, Saturday night, January 18th, it's a winter blues party with one of the most sought-after sidemen in the world of blues, guitarist extraordinaire. He played with Canned Heat and has achieved cult status, Junior Watson, and Dean Shott, who consumes the blues for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He spent his formative years playing alongside Chicago blues legend Hubert Sumlin, and in recent years has toured with Kim Wilson of Fabulous Thunderbirds and harmonica ace Mark Hummel. Dean, it's great to talk to you.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to talk to you, Dave.
Now, you've played with Junior Watson before, but this is your first co-billing together?
Not really, no. We've done this tour for 3 years now.
Okay.
I met Junior about 5 years ago. I opened a show for him at a club, and we just hit it off and became friends and started touring after that.
Now, Dean, your style of blues is one that'll get people on their feet and dancing. Jump blues, swing blues. How did you find your way to the blues here, in this style in particular?
Well, that's a good question. I found the blues initially. I was a fan of Jimi Hendrix. I gravitated towards certain songs that I noticed had Chester Burnett or Elmore James or B.B. King were the authors of the song. So I was like, well, who are these people? You know, I went and found their records and instantly fell in love with the music. As far as jump music and the jump style of blues, I just started finding myself attracted to the early 50s, late 40s R&B units with saxophone, as well as big bands like Count Basie, Duke Ellington. Really, there's so many of them. Chick Webb. And I just love that sound, man. It makes you, you know, you said it makes you want to get up and dance. That's exactly what it did for me.
Now, Dean, your mom sang and played piano around the house when you were young. And in your teens, you took up guitar. Did you take lessons or were you self-taught?
I am self-taught. I had a friend. It's interesting. My mom, actually, go back to when I was about 5. My mom tried to get me guitar lessons. The guy was like, well, he's too young. And she said, no, just give him 3 lessons. And if you think he's, you know, he's too young, then we'll stop. And apparently I took to it right away because the guy was like, no, I can teach this kid. But I didn't enjoy it. So after like 2 lessons, I just stopped.
Why do you think you weren't interested in that?
I hadn't heard any guitar-oriented music that captured me. So I liked music, but the guitar, I didn't see the connection between it. I just saw it as, oh, I got to learn to play these songs here. But then later, as I had mentioned, I heard Jimi Hendrix in my early teens, and I was attracted to the guitar aspect of it. The sound of the guitar captured me. So I had a friend who owned, he played guitar, and I had a VCR camera, you know, like back when the camera was like, look over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And he wanted to borrow that to film his band. And I was like, I want a guitar. He taught me the chords to Hey Joe. and he was like, I'll lend you this guitar if you lend me the camera. and that was it. I never gave him the guitar back, and he kept the camera.
It's a good trade-off.
That was it. That was it, man. I was off running.
What was it like working with Hubert Sumlin?
I was really young. I was in my teens. I had only been playing guitar a short while. And literally the first CD I bought of Howling Wolf, I lucked out. It was real folk blues, more real folk blues, which was just chock full of Hubert's greatest stuff. 300 Pounds of Joy, Bill for Comfort, Killing Floor.
Mm.
So I immediately was drawn to him for some reason. I just was like, this is it. This is the best, as good as it gets. And a friend of mine surprised me, took me to go see Hubert within a year of that. And up until that point, I really hadn't seen in person any guitar player that really knocked me out, that like connected to me, that moved me, because there wasn't a lot of blues around. I grew up in West Orange, New Jersey. There just wasn't too much of it that I was able to find.
Right. So how do you make that connection with him? Do you stay after the show and meet up with him and tell him, hey, I'm a guitar player too? And
that's exactly, well, what actually happened. It was really, I mean, I have goosebumps thinking about it right now. I met him after the show, and it was like there was an instant amazing feeling between us. And we just hit it off, and he said, and he saw the way I'm looking at him. He literally said, you're looking at me like I'm a god. He's like, but I'm just a person. And I was like, no, you're the greatest thing ever. You know, I was just in awe. So that's the first night I met him. The very next time I meet him is about 3 months later. He's got another show. I go to this show, and he's there, and he has a guitar player on stage that wasn't quite, I didn't think, cutting it. I just told Hubert, he knew I played guitar, and he said, do you have a guitar with you? And I was like, no. I was like, but it would be a dream come true if one day I could play with you. So that was it. Now, go back onto the stage. This is in New York City. In the middle of the show, he announces, I have a friend here who's going to come up and play. And he announces my name, like, unexpected. I'm like, oh, my God.
No kidding. You didn't know.
I had no idea. And, wow. And he points to the other guitar players, like, please give him his guitar. And the guy wouldn't give the guitar up. So Hubert goes to hand me his guitar.
Wow.
And I said, Hubert, there's not a way in hell I'm in front of all these people that paid to see you play. Am I taking your guitar?
Wow.
You know? And so the guy was forced to give me the guitar. And I got on stage, and I was able to fit right in. And all of a sudden, the band sounded better because I fit in with them.
No nerves, and, no nothing overcame you?
No, you know, there was nerves, but it was more like excitement at that point because I just somehow knew I could fit in with what they were doing. I mean, I overjoyed, like I had a smile, you know, from ear to ear. I just was overjoyed to be up there with them. Mm. And the very next day, now Hubert, I got to know Hubert never used phones. He wasn't big on picking up a phone and making a call at that time. This is before cell phones.
Yeah.
And the next day in the morning, my phone rings and it's Hubert. And it's like, hey, partner. He called everybody partner. You know? He's like, man, they had a gig in Connecticut. He's like, I want you to come play this gig. I didn't have my driver's license. I didn't know. I was like, well, I don't know how I can get there. He's like, I'll pay for your train. And I'm like, well, I don't even know how I can get to the train. I lived a good 30 minutes from the train. I had no ride there. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. I didn't have enough time. It was like, so I wasn't able to do it. But
you're in your 20s at that point?
No, I was in my teens.
Oh, my goodness.
And and I didn't have my driver's license. At that point, we start just talking on the phone regularly. Once you go, he lived in Milwaukee at that point with his wife, who was Sunnyland Slim's niece. And she was older than Hubert. And we just started talking on the phone. And his next run of gigs, I was the guitar player, you know, like 3 months down the line. And that lasted for about 5.5 years.
Wow.
And it was, I can't even tell you. I can just, you know, I can think, put myself back at that moment. And it's one of the highlights of my life.
What was the biggest takeaway from working with someone like Hubert?
Oh, gosh. I don't know where to start, to be honest with you, Dave. There's so many moments. But really, one of the things I literally was asking him a million questions. And he knew that where I was coming from. He said, you love this stuff. You know, he's like, but he would say things like, if you really want it, you can have it, but you have to really want it. He told me at that point, he didn't know why he was still here. Many of his friends were dead and gone, and he had lived, you know, a challenging life. And he said, there must be a reason I'm still here. And he's like, it must be to pass this on to you. And he was in a lull of, at that time, there wasn't a lot of popularity. And Hubert was struggling a little bit with his career because he was never really a natural front man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he wasn't in a situation, although he was working with a fella who's not that well known, Danny Russo out of Queens, who knew Howlin' Wolf, who was an amazing harmonica player, a white guy out of Queens, amazing vocalist, who when he was 16, Muddy Waters asked him to go on the road with him, and his parents wouldn't let him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and that haunted him.
I bet.
But he was an amazing vocalist, so he was on many of the gigs with us, and him and Hubert had a great thing. But just Hubert, his career was in a lull. He had a renaissance later, but the period I was working with him, it was a struggle a little bit for him to work and get his due. But there's so many things. I mean, just the sound of his guitar coming out of the amp by your feet, you know. I would often purposely stand in front of his amp, not my own, just I thought I'm absorbing the vibrations of that, you know, rather than, and wow. Little things like watching him warm up his voice on the way to a show.
So he taught you a thing or two.
Endless, infinite. I still draw from him, yeah. Not only as a musician, but as a human being every day of my life.
Yeah. And you also worked with Kim Wilson of Fabulous Thunderbirds, Mark Hummel, and many other great folks as well. How many albums, Dean, have you put out?
I've only put out one EP under my own name. That came out in 2014, Tiger Man. And then I was featured on a compilation from Big Tone Records last year called Instrumental, where I'm on a couple tracks we did down at Big Tone Studios in Virginia. But I do have two records planned for release this year. One of them is my Howlin' Wolf celebration of Howlin' Wolf.
Wow.
I have a 7-piece band. We do all the music of Howlin' Wolf, unlike you've ever heard.
Wow.
Very authentic and applying much of what I learned from Hubert. Then the other one is just a Dean Scott record that's got some of my originals, some traditional covers. The majority of both of those records were cut also at Big Tone Studios in Virginia.
Yeah.
Some of the Dean Scott one was cut at a Ponderosa Studios in out in Oak Ridge, New Jersey.
I gotcha. DeanShotBand.com is the website. There's some samples up there of some music, and what I heard was awesome, man. I was dancing in my office listening to this stuff, but really cool. I can't wait to hear the Howlin' Wolf record. And Big Tone Records, you mentioned, that's the label you're on. They're out of Bristol, Virginia. Those guys are big believers in live, true analog recording. We're talking about ribbon and condenser mics, tube, console, the good stuff, right?
Absolutely. Big John is I've had a bunch of experiences in the studio, and it always leaves you frustrated. You can't get the sound you want. It has been another wonderful experience going down there and working with John. Amazing musician in his own right, but man, the magic that he's able to get with the old 40s and early 50s gear,
yep,
with an understanding of the music better than anyone I've dealt with, and just getting the results, the records sound like the old records that we love.
I
mean, he's able to get that sound.
There's a warmth from that recording that you just can't get in today's atmosphere in recording studios.
You're so right, Dave. That's 100% true.
DeanShotBand.com is the website. You can swing the night away at the Linda with Junior Watson and Dean Shot, January 18th, 7 p.m., 518-465-5233, and thelinda.org for tickets. Tickets include a beginner's swing dance lesson ahead of the show as well. Sounds like an awful lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of fun.
Can't wait to check you guys out here, the Linda, this Saturday night. Junior Watson and Dean Shaw. Dean, all the best to you. Thanks for taking the time out to talk to me here today.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.